As I said, one of the things we have not discussed is
details of the research.
Details of the research.
That's all part of the published record, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. Combination of what you've written on it, what other people have written on it, it's been reviewed and integrated with other work in the field, and we won't have what I had planned to do. Let me just tell you this. Maybe we might continue it. You have, and it does conveniently fall into certain categories. I thought of looking at how each category originated. You commented somewhat about that. Some of the people that were involved, and maybe some general comments you have, but not to go into any of the specifics. If, as I say, we won't have time to do that today, but if I'm ever back at UCLA, if you felt like pursuing that for an hour or so,
I'd be delighted to do that.
We've talked about principles of biochemistry. Maybe a little bit about how that all came about. You told me how it ended, but we didn't talk about how it started.
Well, it began actually while I was in New Haven. In that 7 or 8 month period after at the last part of my Guggenheim fellowship, that Abe White and I kept bemoaning the fact that the textbooks of biochemistry were hopeless at that stage. And sometime during the war years, when he came to visit us, we talked about the fact that maybe someday we'd have the time when we ought to do a textbook. That he could do the more physiological aspects, intermediary metabolism, that I could do the chemistry of biochemistry, proteins, enzymes, oxidation, reduction, that kind of thing. Well, during the war it was impossible, obviously. And then came the end of the war. I was moving to Utah, and he was getting out of war research and back into fundamental biochemistry as well. It was quite clear that this was going to be an immediate prospect. And then somewhere along about early part of 1949, I think at a meeting of the ASBMB, Abe and I was talking, and Abe said, you know, it's quite obvious that the two of us are never going to do this. Why don't we bring in four other people? And I've sort of divided it up, and he made an outline that if you did this and I did this and we got somebody to do this, somebody to do that, we could get the job done in roughly a year and a half without impinging too much on our time, and we'd have a reasonable textbook. These are all knowledgeable people who wrote well. I said, all right, that sounds fine. You get in touch with all the other people. It's his idea. He's a senior person. And we decided that we would have a meeting at the Committee on Growth, which was the research-granting agency of the National Research Council, administering the monies of the American Cancer Society at that time. Met in Washington every December, early December. Reviewed research grant applications and awarded grants. Abe was on one panel, I was on another, and DeWitt Stanton was on the third panel. Philip Cohn, who had been at Yale but was in Wisconsin, was on another panel. And Phil Handler came up from Duke, which was not very far away, and forgotten at the moment who the sixth one was. And we started to talk about this and outlined it. Everybody was very enthusiastic. 2 months later, we were exchanging outlines, what we thought ought to be in our sections, to coordinate, make sure. Many topics can be in two or three different places. You have to decide one place. You can't do it three times. Somewhere along the line, Phil Cohn said he's head over heels in building up the department of all research. There was no way he was going to be able to take the time to do it, so he pulled out. And the man who was going to do the nutrition, who was at Vanderbilt, I think of his name in a moment, he decided he couldn't because he had a prior obligation where he was going to be studying the undernourished children of Guatemala or someplace in Central America for 6 months, and he would be out of it completely. At that point, the four of us met in Atlantic City, as usual, for the ASBC meeting. And we said, well, you know, having come as far as we are, I think the four of us can do it without the other two. After all, dividing up those other two parts wouldn't be that much more difficult. Besides which, Abe and Phil had both worked in amino acid metabolism, which is what Phil Cohn was going to handle. Abe and Phil had also both worked in the field of nutrition. They could handle that. So we reallocated things. I took on a little more. They both took on a little more. And that's the way it went. I hadn't met Phil Handler before. I had met DeWitt Stetton earlier, casually, because he had been a graduate student at P&S when I was down on the campus. He was Abe White's age and older than I. He, in fact, had gotten an MD before he went back and took his PhD in biochemistry. And we became very close friends. We wrote very intimately, and very early on we decided, despite the fact that each of us had a preliminary assignment, we were exchanging every word in every chapter and rewriting, and deleting and adding and rewriting, that we would not identify in the book anywhere what each one had written. That this was going to be a communal task, and that we were all responsible for each and every section. And we all read proofs of every chapter, every word, both galleys and pages. It made a lot more work, but it made a hell of a lot better book, I can tell you that. Hans Stetten pulled out after the first edition because he became the associate director in charge of research at one of the NIH institutes and felt that he simply had no time to do it.
What kind of impact did that have when it first came out?
It had an impact on the teaching of biochemistry in the best medical schools and in a lot of undergraduate courses in biochemistry. The old-fashioned professors of biochemistry didn't like it. There was too much chemistry. It dealt with things which were not properly within the province of the medical student, like chapters on genetic aspects of biochemistry. And all this stuff on nucleic acid structure was very interesting, but it had nothing to do with teaching medical students. So much for it. And a chapter on evolution was certainly unnecessary for medical students. But the first edition didn't do badly, let me put it that way. It didn't do as well as we had hoped. In the meantime, an explosion was happening. And we decided we'd better get a new edition out in a hurry. So the second edition came out in 58. And that was an enormous success. Third edition came out 5 years later, even more successful, fourth edition. I think, in retrospect, the third and fourth editions were probably the best editions we did. They were very up-to-date. They encompassed the modern viewpoint of biochemistry better than anyone had done up to that time. And we all were still actively teaching and putting our best efforts into it. Fifth edition, I think, got to be a little verbose and was not as well edited, partly because by that time Phil Handler had become president of the National Academy. It was really bogged down. Plus the fact that the only real time he could devote to it, in terms of actual writing, was summers at Woods Hole. The rest of the year he could try to read some literature and keep up, but he was not living with it in the department anymore. And he got so far behind that, in effect, Abe White and I had to take over a lot of his writing assignments, and I took over the heaviest part of it. And at the end of that edition, I said, gentlemen, if we don't get help for the next edition, there ain't going to be one. And everybody agreed. There was no question about it that he couldn't do it. So we met in Minneapolis, as I recall, at an ASBC meeting. And we spent 3 hours talking about the fact, well, should we do a new edition? We talked about all the pros and cons, and then we went out to dinner. The way back from dinner, we met a whole bunch of people in the lobby, friends of ours, heads of departments of biochemistry from all over the country. They all look at us and say, ah, these guys are plotting a new edition. And the answer was, well, should we? Do you think we ought to do a new edition? Do you want a new edition? Do you think it's worth doing? And everybody insisted we had to do it. Well, if the response is that enthusiastic, we're going to do it, but we have to get at least one and maybe two people. By that time, Abe White had retired from Albert Einstein and had gone out to Palo Alto to be one of the research directors of a new division at Syntex, and with an adjunct appointment at Stanford, which is also one of the reasons why I got bogged down in that fifth division. And Abe suggested bringing in Bob Lehman, who knew the field of nucleic acids, was a major contributor to all of that, and he would be able to handle all of that chemistry and biochemistry very easily and do it well, and wrote very well. So wonderful. I had handled all of that in the previous five editions. I'd kept up with that whole nucleic acid field, and I'd had a background in genetics, so the language was not unfamiliar, but keeping up with that literature. And then the other logical choice was very easy. Bob Hill had come to me as a postdoctoral fellow and then spent 7 years in my lab. And I sent him to Duke to be an associate professor under Phil Handler. He'd come to me as a postdoc and then been an instructor, assistant professor, and was doing independent research, but he was still in my lab, and had moved down and had succeeded Phil Handler as chairman of the Department of Biochemistry at Duke. Bob was the obvious other one to bring in. So that's how the sixth edition got done. It was a good edition. The seventh got split into two pieces, and we kept Phil's and Abe's name on the covers, but they did nothing in terms of the writing. And that's the saga. So within a very short time, I lost a lot of my closest friends, and I'm a survivor, in fact.
Yes.
And as Maurice Chevalier once said on a similar occasion, it's better than the alternative.
Well, with that, let me thank you very much for taking this time this afternoon. I've enjoyed it. It's very, very fascinating.
Well, it's an era. It's an era of when the science came to maturity.
Yep.
And it's been a fantastic experience to have been in it during this period. And as I said in that essay of mine, if I remember, that it was great fun because within a short time you knew everybody in the field. Now you don't. Now you know a few people in your own specialty, and there are so many that you can't know everybody anymore. And the point is, you knew everybody all over the world, for that matter. Even if you'd never met, you knew each other because you knew your writings. And this was quite an experience. And we're still enjoying it in that sense. But we look forward to enjoying more of it. And I still enjoy reading literature and seeing what's going on. I keep up pretty well. I don't try to cover everything in the same way as I did. It's hopeless. It's hopeless. But I know the major trends. And here I am going off on Friday, and we'll have an executive committee dinner on Friday night, an executive committee meeting all day Saturday. Reception Saturday night, Sunday I've got a chair session Sunday morning.
Doesn't sound like that part has changed at all.
That hasn't changed at all. We'll be back Wednesday to Wednesday night. Sessions close at noon on Wednesday. We'll be back Wednesday night. And I'm still on the board of a small foundation that gives away money, which is always fun. I don't do any industrial consulting anymore because I had enough of it. And I've made a very strict policy that I'll go away to something for one night. But more than that, I don't go anywhere without taking my wife. And After 57 years, we're still getting along. I can't ask for anymore.
That's marvelous. Well, you've commented again in your essay that her support through your career is...
There's some wives who support and some wives who don't.
Yes, I know.
And she's been very supportive. She always laughs and reminds me about every 4 or 5 years that before we got married, I warned her that full professorships were very rare and I'd be lucky to get a good associate professorship somewhere. And that we'd live reasonably well, but we'd never be rich, and we'd never do this, we'd never do that. She says, boy, you've been so wrong. Not that we're that kind of wealthy, but there's nothing we want that we lack. Well, and the book helped.
Yes.
Not that we made that much money out of the book, but the investments that the book made possible. Because when I first started to consult for Squibb in 49, we decided that we would not live on that money. That would be invested as future education expenses for our sons so that they could go to whatever college they wanted to. Utah was not the idea of my idea of a good undergraduate educational institution. Graduate school, you can do good graduate work anyway if you have a good professor and a good lab. But undergraduate, I think, is different. And a state college, state university, which has to take in everybody because it's state law, but where one-third, at that time, I don't know what it is now, one-third of the freshman class has to take bonehead English or bonehead math or both, is not the most stimulating kind of atmosphere. So we put away that money, and it turned out later on we didn't need it. But I was getting a high enough salary so that we could cover it, enough income out of the book, but those early investments have paid off. So we don't have to worry about it.
Well, on that, then, I'll thank you again. And certainly
okay, and if,
time.
Anytime you're out here.
I